Hey everyone, Andy here. Welcome to the Bridgepoint Message Podcast. Let me get real with you for a moment. We are all struggling with the weight of something. It may be a past we can't let go. It may be that we're stuck in something we know is wrong, but we can't shake. It may be that we had a really bad day, week, or month, and we can't move on. It may be you fill in the blank, but we all struggle. But did you know we weren't meant to carry that weight? There is another way. In today's message, Tyler shows us that love means we can lay down that weight and let Jesus have it.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How are we doing? Am I feeling good? Awesome. Hey, a big shout out to our friends that attend the Seminole campus. I know they're getting ready to get rocking and rolling in the new building. I got to serve yesterday at the first of three straight Seminole campus work days. I was scraping wallpaper next to some hardworking folks. The next two Saturdays will also be work days. Each moment, seeing it all come together, seeing the potential as we get closer and closer, I'm telling you, God has been so good to us and is going to use that building and those people to make an impact in Seminole and the surrounding communities. Big shout out to the downtown crowd. Got to hang out with you guys last Sunday. And of course, our Tyrone and online crowd holding it down every week. You guys feeling good? Everybody dialed in online? You feeling good? This is week four of our Love Is series. This one's been a lot of fun. I hope it's been helpful and encouraging to you. This series has been walking through the book of 1 John. We've just walked through it backwards instead of forwards. There's been some purpose to that. As John was writing the book, he actually wrote it with some very, the first two chapters, incredibly practical writing that he was writing. And then he got to the explanation of why, some of the principles towards the end of his letter. We started with the principles so that we could then turn around and get to the practical, which is where we find ourselves today. Today will be arguably the most practical that we've gotten to so far, and then come back next week. Make sure you're here next week. Travis James will be the first time he gets to bring the message, and he's going to wrap up the Love Is series with a very, very practical message. But Chad and myself have gotten us started so far, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Just to recap it, to make sure everybody's on the same page with why and some of the big principles that, like I said, I hope have been helpful. You can find all the messages on YouTube. If you've missed them, go catch up. I think it'll matter. I think it'll impact your life and be meaningful to you. But here's where we've been so far. In week one, we talked about the fact that faith in God, according to John, is living from victory, not for it, meaning we don't have anything to prove. We're not trying to earn anything. We simply look back to the cross of Jesus and to his empty tomb. And from that, our faith, which just means believing that it's true, believing that Jesus is who he said he is and did what he said he did and what eyewitnesses saw happen, that it's real. And from that place, we get the victory of the empty tomb. The second week of this series, we applied this principle, that until your worth, your value, your identity, who you are is secure in God, love, in quotation marks, will always become transactional. In other words, all of our hearts are naturally bent to trying to validate ourselves. We want to know that we're enough, that we're good enough, or we can earn enough, or our status is such. We're meeting expectations. And if we don't find our identity in the only place that's big enough to carry the weight of our identity, everything becomes a transaction. Even just to serve somebody becomes serving because it makes us feel good, all in transaction. Until you know how much you're loved by God, everything becomes about what you can earn. And then last week, Chad did a phenomenal job unpacking this truth, that because of God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him. Whatever caused you to tune in today, if you're not in a place that you have absolute confidence in your relationship with God, you don't have to wonder, you don't have to question, you don't have to jump through any hoops or emotions, but today and any day, you can know that you are right with God, not because of anything you've done, not because you or I have earned it, we're good enough, but again, we look back to the empty tomb, we look back to the cross. That's important. And again, the purpose of working through 1 John is not so you just take my word for it. John was an eyewitness to who Jesus was and what he did. Jesus, at times, it's recorded in Scripture, taught thousands of people with incredible influence. There are times in Scripture where Jesus taught smaller pockets, 40, 50, less than 100 type size folks. But then Jesus had like his 12 disciples. Those were his people, right? And then even within the 12 disciples, there were three that were his inner circle, like the real ride or die homies. And then there was John, known in the Bible oftentimes as the beloved disciple. John and Jesus were best friends. And that's why this book has been, I hope, an encouragement to you, is because I'm not asking you to believe something that feels good to me. I'm not asking you to believe something that's been passed through history. I'm taking you back to somebody that walked side by side with Jesus. I'm taking you back to somebody who died because he saw what Jesus did and it changed his life, and he saw how it was changing the world. John wrote this letter that we know as 1 John to a bunch of early churches, saying, hey guys, don't go back to just getting wishy-washy in understanding our faith. Remember what Jesus taught us. There was a group of people back in this time in the early churches. That's why John wrote, saying, oh, sin, it's not that big a deal. Don't make too much of it. It doesn't need to influence you. And John was like, hold on. You gotta go back. Go back. Look back to the cross for victory. Look back to the cross for understanding love. Look back to the cross to have confidence in your relationship with God. And anything that wants to water that down is not good enough. But just to take it a step further, if you're tuning in today, you're joining today, you're listening to the podcast later, catching us on YouTube, if you have doubts about that, first of all, I want you to know you're welcome. You belong here. Everyone is wrestling with this concept of faith because for us, we rely on eyewitnesses. But John was writing this letter to other churches that had other eyewitnesses in them. And here's why that's important. If John was saying, let me tell you about my best friend, and he was writing about something that Jesus had done that wasn't true, there were actually people in these other churches that could have looked at this letter and been like, that's not how it went. That's not accurate. That's not real. That's not what Jesus really said or did. But instead, this was a letter from Jesus's best friend that as it went out could be confirmed in some of these churches. And if you're wrestling and struggling and just saying, man, the whole thing, the idea that we have to believe that Jesus died on the cross and the idea that, take it a step further, that we have to believe that he rose again, like, how do you get your mind wrapped around it? And I'm with you. I mean, this is a lot. But John ate fish on the beach with Jesus after he rose from the grave. And then he died because he was so convinced that Jesus' teaching, his cross, his empty tomb, is exactly what the world was searching for. He's either a fool for dying for something that he knew wasn't true, or as an eyewitness, what John had to say mattered about Jesus' life. But the series is called Love Is, because if you asked me as a pastor, help me understand what love is. I love ice cream. I love Auburn. I love God. I love my spouse. What does love mean? I would encourage you to get a better understanding. Start by reading the book of 1 John. Read John's letter. Hear his heart on it and understand that. And today, to process that one step further, to give you one more peek into what love really is, I want you to know that John would have you know that to fully understand love, it begins with this big idea, that truth is the key to experience the freedom your heart was made to know. That love and truth must go together, because in order to fully understand love, it must begin with that which is true. Here's what I mean. My 5-year-old Judah, he has a little lockbox with the money he's gotten from the tooth fairy or from grandparents as he swindles them out of stuff. And for Judah, he will every day take a trade for me that I can give him 2 coins, 2 pennies for $1. Because in his mind, 2 is greater than 1. He can love the 2 and feel good about the 2 as much as he wants, but what is not true about that is that it is a good investment. And to take it a step further, it is unloving for me to continue down that path. It's really just theft. And he's young enough that we don't have to tell him, but there's going to come a day that he'll realize that my loving trade of two coins for one bill was actually not love at all. Because we don't get to define love. We don't get to speak into that. We don't get to look out and say, well, that doesn't feel right to me. And to take that a step further, we actually weaken the word truth when we assign the word your to it. Because something is true whether or not you and I know it or not. It is not true that Judah gets more when he gets two pennies instead of hanging on to a dollar. It may be his truth, but it's not truth. We have to begin a conversation on love about that which is true. And then John, to take it a step further from this big idea, he kind of in chapter 2, which is what we're focusing on today, gives us an example of where to identify what love is and a couple examples of where we ought not turn. Here's what I mean. From that place in 1 John chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, John writes to these early churches and therefore us this. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Here's how you boil it down. Keep his commandments. Now, we talked about in week one, these aren't oppressive. This isn't rule following. God's not trying to make you miserable. Instead, God's trying to give commandments that are more like guardrails. Stay within the lines because it's best for you. And what were the commandments that John was referring to? Jesus said the two commandments that are of greatest importance, love God with all that you got and love people like you love yourself. Love. Love is the commandment. Love is the goal. Love is the principle. And if you want to be sure that you know God in the right way, look at how you love people. And he took it a step further. If someone claims, I know him, God, well, but doesn't keep his commandments, doesn't love people, he's obviously a liar and his life doesn't match his words. I wonder how often people that want nothing to do with God are watching those of us that come to church regularly live one way on Sunday and celebrating God as our champion and then going back out into the world being so unloving and unkind. That does not match the words and the goal and the heart of God and his offering for us. It doesn't match the Jesus that John knew and gave his life for. That's critically important. John continues in this passage and he says, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. And here's the most important thing. I can say I love ice cream, but I don't think that's going to motivate or change any way that you guys live, because is that really love? Is that what love is? Is it what boils down to? But the caution of what John is saying is, if you're not looking to somebody living out of the power, the freedom, the hope, the joy that comes from God's love, then to see God's mature love is going to be non-existent. Because love is more than a feeling. Thank you, Boston. Cue the background music, right? More than a feeling. Love is a decision. It's an action. It's something that even when you're waking up and not feeling it, you choose to love. Even when it doesn't make sense, you step into the action of love. If love was simply based on an ice cream flavor or butterflies in a tummy or whether or not we woke up feeling it or not, we would never know real love because emotions can change. God, what John is saying is to really get what love is, look at what God has called us to. And when you see someone that is loving others the way as Jesus's best friend was writing, when you see somebody loving the way I saw my best friend love, then you'll see mature love. Jesus loved so differently. So purely, so truly, Jesus loved not because we earned it, not because we could deserve it, not because we did something right, or not because we even did anything for him. Jesus loved because he just loved. He was God, and he is love. Jesus loved. That's the purest version of love. And that's what John's saying. Don't look out. We talked about this in week two. Don't look out to define love or find love. Look up, because only God can satisfy the parts in our soul that are searching so hard for love. This is the only way to be sure that we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. In other words, for those of us that consider ourselves believers, if your response to anyone is not to love first, you're not loving like Jesus did. Jesus didn't only love people that were easy to love. Jesus loved everyone. Jesus loved somebody like me. Jesus loves somebody like you. Even as the Bible says, even when we were considered his enemies, we were loved by God. And maybe that's the statement that you need to hear. John's saying, if you want to understand what love is, look up. Go catch up on week two of the series for more on that one. And then John sort of shifts gears and says, hey, remember where you have to go to understand love. Let me give you a couple cautions of where you can't turn to understand love. In verses 15 through 17, John writes this. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Now, let me pause for a second, because this is kind of weird language that John is assigning. Don't love the world. Well, so for clarity, John isn't saying that the world is a bad place, right? This is where we live. But to ground and root our love here, to search outward horizontally for love in this place, that's going to be a bad recipe. That's going to be a bad recipe. The world isn't a bad place. Our culture, the people in it. He's not saying don't look for love there. He's saying that can't be the source of your love. You see, Jesus, the way he lived and loved, Jesus was introducing what's known, what he called the kingdom of God on earth. God's ways, God's purposes, God's heart for people. And John's just painting the distinction that if you start looking towards others for something that the kingdom of God can satisfy, you're not going to find it here. It's going to make a mess. Maybe you're wondering what the cinder blocks on stage are. I have an illustration to make this point that's either going to be a phenomenal illustration or a total disaster. Stay tuned to see more and see a pastor wreck himself potentially. But that's what John was getting at. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. That to fill our hearts with the transactional love, to fill our hearts with a love that's trying to earn something or deserve something, distracts us from the place and source that love comes from, which is God. So to understand the difference is incredibly important, because practically everything that goes on in the world, practically everything we know about our home here and our mission, it's wanting your own way. It's wanting everything for yourself. It's wanting to appear important. That has nothing to do with the Father. This world is wanting, wanting, wanting. We've talked about this. We don't naturally drift closer to God, right? That's not the bent of our hearts. In fact, our hearts naturally bend towards self-preservation, toward wanting our way, towards wanting everything for ourselves, and wanting to appear important. And the moment we start looking out for love to satisfy those wants, we'll get so consumed with finding that we squeeze out the space that true love can fill. And John continues about why this is such a big deal. His very next statement is this. Wanting, 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 it just isolates you from him. The wanting, the pursuit, the living for victory, the not understanding our love and not having confidence in our relationship with God, it isolates you from God. It isolates me from God. Can I take a moment and talk about why that's so hopeless? Because if God is love, if he created love, if he's the source of love, if his character is love, if he made us for a purpose that was out of love, If he created the world that we could live in and celebrate real, true love, then anything we do that crowds him out creates an isolation, a separation from a God that loves us truly and purely. Can you imagine how hopeless that would be? Can you imagine how empty it must be to never know real love? Can you imagine how isolating, how broken you would feel? How lost and searching, how you could try with all of your might to find and fill something inside of you that you can only really get from God, but you've isolated yourself from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. That's the plan. The plan is that we would know love, but it's not going to come from looking out. It only comes from looking up, and that's critical. I think that's why John, as he continued in this passage, was reminding people, you can't dismiss sin. You can't take it lightly, because all the wanting in us crowds out love of the Father, crowds out space for the Father. We choke out the room in our hearts that exists to know God. And John said this in verse 24, stay with what you heard from the beginning. Stay with Jesus' teaching. Go back to that place, the original message. Let it sink into your life. You're not going to get it perfectly. There's no expectation for that. Grow into it. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning, remember John's writing to people that heard it. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. That's exactly what Christ promised. Eternal life, real life. That's why our last series is called Better Than Normal, because that's God's design for you and for me. It's not a life burdened with rules. It's not a life burdened with obligations. This is an eyewitness, a best friend that's saying, go back to Jesus. Stay with his message, because that's the key to life. But to reach that place, it must begin with what's true. Truth. Truth in understanding love is the key to experience the freedom that your heart was made to know from God. But you can't base that on just what feels right or what looks good. Remember what we've learned so far. John's saying, now, little children, stay with Christ. Stay with Jesus. Live deeply in Christ. Go back to Jesus. When you fall, get up and return to him. When you get it wrong, go back to Jesus. When it doesn't make sense, trust Jesus. When you're confused, ask Jesus. Go back, stay with Christ, live there. Because remember, even the big ideas of this series are not to be misinterpreted. That's what we've covered so far. But did you catch the power in them? Because it's faith in God. We can't just decide to have faith in something that allows us to live for victory or from it. It's faith in God. It's until our worth is secure in God. And even last week, it's because of God's love for us. This thing has to begin with what is true, and what is true is God. Truth isn't just this foreign concept. It's not something that we have to search for. Truth is actually a person, and his person has a name. Truth is Jesus, and Jesus is truth. Because Jesus is the key to experience, to unlock our hearts, to know freedom. It's him. And how would it change your life if we stood upon Jesus's truth to have absolute confidence in our relationship with him? Chad did a great job unpacking this last week and helping us understand what that means. Absolute confidence in Jesus means we have power over sin. It doesn't define us. It means we have power to love even difficult people. And it gives us comfort even in our doubts, because those are going to come. I love the illustration that Chad gave last week, that he put this chair out here. And absolute confidence means, at least the way John wrote it, that we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Meaning we can put our weight on God and trust him. All in on that. I weigh more than Chad, and I'm so thankful that chair holds me too. That would kill a great illustration.
That's what it means to rely on Jesus. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't try to pretend. We know and rely. We put our weight on Jesus. That's why John's saying, stick with Jesus. Go back to Jesus. Many of you today, maybe the very first step that you need to make is to trust Jesus. To say, I've never known him, but today I want to know him. But then there's the rest of us that know that to be true. And yet, we turn back to what's around us. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody wakes up on any given day hoping to be totally overtaken and tangled up in sin. Nobody wakes up and says, man, I'm going to embezzle a ton of money and go to jail. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to let my addiction totally drain me of resources and ruin my life. Nobody says, I'm going to have all sorts of borderline inappropriate relationships until I blow up my whole marriage. Right? Instead, we know what's true. We know we can know and rely on God. But every day, we make a tiny decision that says, I can handle this. Here's what I mean. Rick, you've got something for me. This is where things will make a whole lot of sense or they'll be a total disaster.
This is your past.
This is my past.
There's a cinder block in there.
A cinder block in this bag. Oh, great. So this is how it most frequently looks for a lot of us, is we have a past. My past isn't as bad as some, but there's aspects of my past that I'm not proud of. And as much as I know the freedom that comes from trusting God, far too often, I'd rather just saddle that up and pretend that I'm good. I've got this. I can keep navigating my life. Things are going just fine for me. I don't have anything to worry about.
There's a cinder block in there, too.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, why would you make it easy on me? This tote represents just the day-to-day life. The temptations to say, I'm not good enough. I'm not measuring up. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good mom. And as much as I know freedom exists, I'd rather carry this around and say, see, God, I'm good. I love our relationship, and I can handle things, and I'm going to keep going in this way. Oh, why would we put it in a tote when you just drop a cinder block on me, right? This is the sin that we know we need help with. We know we ought to confess. We know we need to trust God with. But instead, we'd rather be like, I know I got a past, and I know I got a present, and I know I'm wrestling with some sin, but God, I'm good. And many of us will walk into church saying, I'm singing, I'm happy, and oh, throw it on, why don't you? Because this represents difficult people to love. This is the email that you get where they're like, oh, I'm glad she ripped me a new one about being too bald or being upset about what I'm wearing because I love wrestling with difficult people. They're getting to me again. It's getting under my skin, but I'm good. Okay, it's getting under my skin, but I'm good. Oh, more, okay? Now what do I do when I'm all right, now what I do when I'm saying I'm doubting a little bit because life is heavy and I thought I was a believer and this is getting really real. Like I feel like I'm on a path that's either going to crush me or really hurt other people at this point. And so I'm starting to question and many of us, what's the plan? All right, yeah, throw it up there. This is just the day-to-day life that comes from part of it. Can you still see me? Because I'm in here. This is the navigating of life that says, and many of us, to be quite honest, we're showing up to church and we're singing songs. Thank God he's my champion. Yeah, I love that. But God, I'm good. I'm good. And if I can be honest, I'm not sure any of us are really truly trusting Jesus when our life looks like it's carrying this much weight. How about a little help? That'd be great. Yeah, let's lighten the load a little bit because these babies are real. These aren't styrofoam cinder blocks. Just for the record. But here's the reality. You and I were never made and meant to carry this weight. The day-to-day life of feeling like we don't measure up was not supposed to be our burden to bear. And too many of us are walking into church every week carrying the weight of a past that God says, why did I go to the cross and forgive you if you're going to keep carrying it? And too many of us are navigating difficult people trying to do it in and of our own strength. God, I need you to help me because this is their problem. So God, fix them. And too many of us are struggling with sin. And if it was easy to let go and break free from, we'd never have a sin problem. But we try to carry it. We try to smile about it and pretend that everything's okay. And then we have our doubts and questions and confusions and uncertainties and all these things that we would rather carry even though we know that to just put our weight on Jesus. Whew. the breath of fresh air that our souls are craving and longing for is available if we'll just know and rely on God's love. Did you have a bad weekend? Please don't carry it. Are you overwhelmed with questions and doubts? Please find comfort. Are you ashamed of your past? There's no condemnation in Christ. Are you stuck and trapped in sin? Find freedom. Are you weighed down, bogged down, frustrated, confused, hurt, lonely, longing, isolated? Because the more we try to carry that, the more we pretend that we're okay, it's the more we trade the freedom, the deep breath that our souls were made to know in Christ. That's why John's writing this letter saying, don't go back. Don't go back. Stay rooted in Jesus. Understand his love. That love means you're forgiven. Love doesn't mean you have to pretend. Love means you don't have to pick it back up. Love means you don't have to smile. Love means it's okay to not be okay. Love means it's okay to reach out to a counselor. Love means it's okay to confess to somebody that wants to walk with you. Love means that freedom is just on the other side of our willingness to be true to ourselves and to God. Love is not, look how much weight I can carry. Are you proud of me, God, and other people? Because quite honestly, this was real close to a disastrous moment for me and potentially the front row. And I wonder how many of us today are walking in with so much weight in our hearts and souls that we're just a disastrous small step away from being crushed ourselves or hurting other people. So John says, and now, children, stay with Christ. Stay with Jesus. Don't hold it because you think you can live for victory. We've already got victory. Live from victory and let go. Don't try to earn love by how much you can take. Know that you're loved and be free. Don't allow the doubts to creep in. Find comfort in absolute confidence that Jesus is enough for you. Stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears. We know he's coming. We know he'd be here. Ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Once you are convinced that he is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. Not because they're carrying the weight of religiosity, but because they're walking in a freedom that allows them to not only know what love is, but to love. That only begins with truth. Truth is the key to experience the freedom your heart was made to know. Maybe the truth for you today is to admit that you're being crushed and that you're a small step away from hurting other people in the process. Maybe the truth is that it's time to trust Jesus, time to let go, time to take a deep breath of freedom. Maybe the truth begins with, in seeking love outwardly, it means we're going to have to shoulder up that weight and carry it because that's the only solution. But don't look out, look up, because that's what love is. Stay with Jesus. Don't take my word from it. That's the best friend of Jesus who lived this and loved this out and wrote to other people. Want to know what love is? Look to Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, my heart, as you know, for this message is just that my friends could know the freedom that comes deep in our souls. Not because we can carry the weight ourselves, but because we can trust you with it. God, there's so many people that have walked in today that are so weighed down. There's so many people that are tuning in right now that are struggling to keep it all up. So many people that are going to hear this that just feel so crushed. God, for all of us, could we know freedom today? Could we know that and experience the absolute confidence that comes from knowing you because of your love? Could we live as someone who is loved and lived from victory, not for it? And God, imagine how that would change our lives and how that would change the world. God, it starts with truth. Jesus, you are truth. Would you be the key that unlocks our hearts to know freedom? In your name we pray. Amen.
Are you walking with so much weight that you are steps away from crushing yourself or others? If so, what would it take for you to give it to Jesus? If we can walk with you this week, please reach out and let us know. We have a great team of people who would love to come alongside you. If you've not done so already, make sure you subscribe to our podcast and don't miss next week as we conclude our Love Is series. Have a great week, everyone.